tell you I have a short message tonight, but you've heard that before. So if you'd turn with me to the book of 1 John chapter 2. Book of 1 John, second chapter. That's just before 2 John. In case you was wondering there. I do not plan to keep you long, but I do want to talk to you for just a little bit, especially we've talked about paradise lost, paradise being restored, and the greatest thing that we can accomplish this side of glory is our relationship with Jesus Christ. In that intimacy of relationship that we have with Him, it cannot be just a normal type of casual relationship. He desires for you to give Him everything, and in return, He has already given you everything. Intimacy, if you look at it, break it down, look at it closely, when we really get to the place that we want that relationship with Him, into me you see. When we allow Him to totally look inside of us, to change us, transform us, and renew us by His precious Spirit and by His power and by the blood of the Lamb. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, it says this. John speaking here of the young Christians, perhaps the converts that he has helped win to the Lord. He said, "But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but at the same anointing teach you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. There was a group that was going around, and they was bringing confusion, they was bringing division, and they was teaching false doctrine. And so John came by to let them know that it was the anointing of the Spirit of God that they had experienced that would keep them, teach them, and they must abide in that faith and love. The anointing of the Spirit of God is that divine enabling that transcends or exceeds or surpasses anything that we can imagine. Man's natural ability and intelligence and equips them for the task which God has called them to. You have a plan for your life. God has gifted you. God has touched you. Said, "I really don't know what it is." Just make yourself available and God will guide you and direct you. He will equip you and He will show you what He has for you. This does not mean that we do not need help and understanding from God's Word. He has already anointed preachers and teachers and evangelists, and they are necessary in the development of God's people and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has already ordained those positions for the equipping of the saints. So what did John mean here exactly? And as we go back to verse 26, it will kind of give us some reference. He said, "I write this to you with reference to those who would deceive you, who would seduce or would lead you astray." We must be as harmless as doves, and we must be wise as serpents, the Scripture tells us. So John is writing this in reference that we be not deceived, and we don't grab a hold of every little thing that comes along. We allow God's Spirit to reside inside of us, and we allow those things that to keep us and to guide us, and we understand those things that are being taught to us as a revelation through the Spirit of God. It's those who deceive and seduce you that you don't want to listen to. To know the difference, one must guard one's spirit. To understand what is going on, we must abide closely to Jesus Christ, who has filled us with His Spirit. I have often used the phrase that we need to live so close to Him that we can feel His slightest nudge when He tries to get our attention. Sometimes He has to hit us hard enough that it messes up our hairdo. But we need to live so close and so intimate with Him that we can feel His slightest nudge. The intimacy that we have with Him. Can I tell you, the closer you get to Jesus Christ and the more intimacy you have with Him, the less you'll hear of the world. On the same hand, let us be warned that to warn you that as good as they may be, human resources are not good enough. We have to have the relationship. Don't misunderstand me in what I'm saying and the direction I'm going. He has ordained preachers and teachers, but we've got to have a relationship ourselves. It's more than just hearing the message on Sunday morning and leaving your Bible in the pew and don't picking it up again until we get back the next Sunday. You must have that relationship. You can never truly comprehend the benefits of the intimacy with God until you have one. Until you have one. Let me try to explain. John chapter 6, verses number 8 and 9. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, "There is one lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" Can't you just hear the disciples as they kind of rustle around and say, "Yeah, right, Andy. 5 loaves and 2 fish. And there's 5,000 people out here besides the women and children, just men. Why don't you go ahead and get out the fine china?" Can we not be sarcastic at times? Perhaps what the rest of the disciples was saying to Andrew, "Why don't you just go ahead and get out the 5 china and 5 loaves and 2 fishes? We can feed all these people. Ain't no problem." But I wonder how the rest of the disciples felt when Jesus said, "Why don't you set them down in groups? Bring the little boy to me that's got the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes." Do you think Jesus was setting his disciples up to prove to them that his strength was made perfect in our weakness? That it was made available to more than enough in our lack? We can find that Jesus Christ is the one that will lead us and guide us and direct us and teach us. And sometimes his subtle teaching can get a hold of our attention and help us understand and realize that it's that intimacy that we have with him. Can you imagine how far 5 loaves and 2 little fishes would go to feed 5,000 men? I doubt if it was in the natural that any of them would get as much more than a crumb, and several of them be left out with that. But when the little bit we have placed in the master's hand, we will see how adequate our little is when we place it in the hands of God. That's the intimacy that we have with him. Little is much when God is in it. God can do great and mighty things. And it's that confidence, it's that spirit, it's that faith, it's that knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt, regardless of what things look like. And don't you imagine those things that the disciples saw, that 5 little loaves and 2 little fishes from one young man, that was his lunch. That was what he was going to have that day. And all of a sudden, we find that Jesus is going to bless it and feed a multitude. God did not give them just an appetizer. He filled them up. That's the kind of God that we serve. And that relationship that we have with him, he didn't give them just an appetizer. He filled them up. Luke chapter 9 verse 17 said, "And they did eat and were filled, and there were taken up of the fragments that remained of them 12 baskets." He left a basket full of leftovers so the disciples could take their share home. Understand today, church, or tonight, God can take your inadequacies. He can take your shortcomings and exchange them for his sufficiency. We were not designed to be self-sufficient. God did not create us that way. He created us to rely on him. We used to sing that song, "I need him more today than I did yesterday." But I can assure you, as just as real as I'm standing in front of you tonight, you can trust him. You can rely on him. In your inefficiencies, he is sufficient. You can rely on him. That's why we must constantly stay in his presence. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, no matter what's going on, we must stay in His presence. Did you know that your total dependency on God will drive us to intimacy? I need Him more today than I did yesterday. Can I say that again? Can I say it again? Thank you. Your total dependency on God will drive you to intimacy with Him. It's like abiding in Him. We cannot live independently from Him. We can try and sadly fail. But He don't want you to. He wants you to draw close to Him. I think one of my favorite songs, and I've got several, one of my favorite songs is the one that we sing that we crawl up in His lap, and we lean on His breast, and we feel His heartbeat. That's intimacy with God. And I've said it many times before, and I just got to say it one more time. It's getting so close to Jesus Christ that the fragrance that He has rubs off on you. And you, when you go out into the world, they don't see you. They don't smell you. They sense the fragrance. They sense the presence and the Spirit of God on you. That's what the world needs. They're starved to death for something. They need an answer. They need hope. They need somebody to tell them the good news. And when we get close enough to God, the very fragrance that's on Jesus Christ is transcended on us, and when we go out in the world, they sense that we've been with Jesus. We've been with Jesus. John 15:4 says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me," Christ said. Seventh verse of that chapter said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done." Does that sound like intimacy? If you're having a spat with your spouse and things are not going real well and you can't agree on anything, how much favor do you think you're going to get when you ask Him for something? Probably not much. Probably not much. And it's not on God's part, but on our part. We feel that separation. We feel that difference between us and Him when we do not have the relationship that we need to. And again, it's not on His part, it's on our part. It's that intimacy. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done." And in John chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be made to stumble," that we stay in Jesus Christ, that we focus in on Him, that we do everything that we possibly can to draw close to Him and stay close to Him, that we resist the world and we draw closer to Jesus Christ. Jesus was saying that "these things have I taught you about abiding in me will keep you from stumbling." These things. When you abide in Him, it will keep us from stumbling because our relationship has went to the next level and there's intimacy, there's love. We can whisper His name and we hear that breeze from heaven come back to us and whisper to us. He was teaching us that if we abide in Him, we would not stumble. Staying intimate with the Father will keep you from falling. Staying close to Jesus Christ will keep you from falling. Do you understand that? The closeness. The closer we are to Jesus Christ, the more or the less attraction we have to the world. The closer we are to Jesus Christ, the less that we desire the world or anything in the world. But we love Jesus Christ. You say, "I don't know if that's possible in the world in which we live in." It is possible. And the more we see the circumstances of our world turn inside out, the more we need to draw closer to Jesus Christ. I assure you, the hour in which we live is not a time to dilute your salvation or to dilute your spirituality or to dilute your relationship with Jesus Christ. We're living in a time we need to get closer than we've ever been before. Abiding in Him is walking in His light, being obedient to His word, talking to Him, allowing Him to talk to us. It works through every aspect of our life, from our conversation to our conduct. That relationship with Jesus Christ works through our conversation and it works through our conduct. The world needs to see Jesus Christ inside of you. A.W. Tozer, an old-time evangelist, once said that if you want to grow spiritually, you need to love what God loves and hate what God hates. It also applies to abiding in Him. That is what the Word was talking about when He said, walk even as He walked. Walk even as He walked. Intimacy with the Father requires a separation from the world. Intimacy is a love for Jesus Christ that surpasses everything else in the world. Intimacy is a love for Jesus Christ that surpasses anything else in the world. How excited would we be if we heard the trumpet sound right now? This morning I was telling you about how that paradise had been lost, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, paradise was being restored. He was excited this morning. Are you ready to take a long winter's nap at this point? You guys are quiet. Just need you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ that goes far past what you can ever imagine. I guess there's a time in our life and a time when I'm preaching that we need to be quiet, but the intimacy with Jesus Christ that surpasses anything else this world has to offer. Having a relationship with Jesus Christ that has that special intimacy detaches us from the world and attaches us to Him. What benefits are there in intimacy with the Father? Daniel chapter 11 verse 32 says, those who do wickedly against the covenant, He shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Isn't that awesome? Are you ready? Look at your neighbor and grab him by the arm and say, are you ready? Great things is going to happen to the child of God that stays intimate with Jesus Christ our Lord. To reach a place with intimacy with the Father, one must have a hunger and a desire to know Him more than anything else. It's got to be a desire for Jesus that surpasses anything else that you can ever imagine. Moses said in Exodus chapter 33, verse 13, now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I might find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. I just want to know more about you, Jesus. Listen, church, it doesn't matter what you used to have. It's what you got now. And our desire should be, Lord, I want more and more and more of you because I can't ever get enough. I can't wait to get back to the house of God. I can't wait to sing praises unto God. I can't wait to be around God's people and rejoice and enjoy the blessings of heaven. When we absent ourselves from God, we will lose our desire to be hungry for Him. Listen, we will lose that desire when we absent ourselves from the things of God. We will lose that desire and it will lead us to spiritual sickness. The only reason that a baby won't take the breast is when he's sick or she's sick. Did you hear me? I said, the only reason, come on, stay with me now, that a baby won't take the breast is because it is sick. The baby is hungry and wants to be fed. So it is with a child of God. We should want to draw from the life of God and the life of Jesus Christ that it will change us dramatically. And if we don't then see the need and we don't see and have the hunger, something's seriously wrong. But a desire more of Jesus Christ. I desire more of Him. I'm hungry for Him. I want more of Him. Would you stand with me all over the building tonight? I want more of Jesus Christ. Is there anyone here tonight that needs special prayer before we're dismissed? Anyone needs special prayer? How many here tonight would lift your hand and say, I want more intimacy with God? I want more intimacy with God for just a few seconds or moments, just between you and God. As Chris plays softly, can you just talk to him for a moment? Say, Lord, I'm hungry for you. I want more of you. I desire more of you. I want that relationship and that intimacy. Lord, the world can see that our relationship is deeper than just the norm. I hunger after you, oh God. I desire you. Can you just talk to him for a few minutes, church? Tell him how much you love him and how much you care and how much you want that relationship with him. Deeper than anything that you've ever imagined before. About Lord, I want to know more about you. Whatever it takes, Lord. Whatever it costs, Lord, I want more of you. You're not doing it for me, church. You're doing it for you. This is a personal relationship. This is a one-on-one relationship. He's got time for all that you got to tell him. Every one of us. And then some. You. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Keep those safe that are on the road. Touch and heal those that are sick. Bind us together underneath the umbrella of the Spirit, grace, and mercy of God. We love you and we thank you, Lord Jesus. Ask all these things in Jesus' name. And the body said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Don't forget Wednesday night service.